We're going to begin today a six-week series on our core values. Now, I know many of you have seen the three core values that we have on the board out here. You've seen it on our website. You've probably heard us mention these as we've gone along over the last several months. So we're going to begin to talk about what those are and why we even have those of light the way, grow in truth, share life. And I want you to understand when we talk about core values, here's what we're trying to answer. We're going to answer this question. We're going to answer the question, who are we? I mean, when you talk to people in the community about Fairway Baptist Church and they ask you, you know, if I were to tell you to describe Fairway Baptist Church, some of you might say, well, it's that brick church that sits on the corner of Fairway and Pasadena. I hope you would go a little bit further than that and say, well, we gather together and worship Christ on Sunday mornings through preaching of His Word. We have Bible study. You might explain all of the things that we do here at Fairway as far as the different ministries that we have. And that's good if you explain those and talk about it. But I really want us to begin focusing on who are we as Fairway? What is our identity? How do we talk about who we are and what we are about, what we value? And I want you to get in your mind, I'm not asking you when we talk about these three core values, light the way, grow in truth, share life. I'm not trying to get you to put a checklist together of, okay, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. That is a legalistic system that will kill any church, and it will kill your walk with Christ. So that's not what we're talking about this morning. When we talk about core values, what I am going to give us through these next 6 weeks are foundational truths that come from Scripture that we are going to rebuild Fairway Baptist Church on. And every one of them that I'm going to show you are things that if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, these are things that should be a part of your life, things that you should be doing. You should desire to do them out of love for the Savior who gave His life for you, and your life is lived in such a way that you're loyal to Him, that He is your Lord. And so when you see these things from Scripture that we're going to talk about, and you begin to understand that they're all part of who we are supposed to be as a Christian, you begin to understand why these things are found, are defining our church, and are going to be the foundation upon which we build. And I want you to notice as we go through these, we're going to start today with light the way, and as we go through them and I explain them and talk about them, you're going to see three things about every one of these in these 6 weeks. Every week that we talk about one of these core values, you're going to notice, number one, that the core value that we're talking about was commanded by Christ. You're going to see that He commands these values. Now, the way that we talk about them, the way we define them, so that we remember and we can explain them, light the way, grow in truth, share life. There are biblical passages and principles that I'll give you with each one that show you how Christ commanded these to be part of our life and part of the church. The second thing that you're going to notice, if you've been walking with us through the book of Acts over the last several months, you're going to realize that these are, all three of them are evidenced in Acts. You're going to see all of them lived out and testified to in the early church. And then the third thing that you're going to see about all of these is that all three of them are taught by the apostles in the rest of the New Testament. Now, if I can prove those three things to you about each one of these core values, that Jesus commanded them, that you see it evidenced in Acts at the beginning of the church and the launch of Christianity, and that the apostles taught all of these, that's a pretty strong case for saying these should be part of our life and the identity of our church, isn't it? Well, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to walk through these, and today we're going to begin talking about light the way. We're going to talk about what this core value means. There's two aspects of it. We're going to spend 2 weeks on it, this week and next week. This week, we're going to talk about the evangelism and missions aspect of light the way. Next week, we will begin to talk about the cultural engagement, kind of the apologetics aspect of light the way. And if I've just said to you evangelism and missions and you're like, oh great, here we go, he's talking about that again, I want to let you know you're going to be very uncomfortable and unhappy here at Fairway Baptist Church. I'm being honest with you. You need to know that up front. If the idea of evangelism and missions is you're sick of hearing about it, you're tired of us talking about it, you're going to be very uncomfortable and very unhappy here at Fairway, because that's going to be part of who we are. And the reason is because, like we said, number one, Christ commanded it. So let's take a look at that this morning in Matthew chapter 28. Following His resurrection, Jesus begins to meet with His disciples, and He tells them to go to Galilee. Matthew chapter 28 in verse 10. He commands them to go to Galilee, and so they make their way there. And in verse 16, we see that they make it there, and they see Jesus. And Jesus begins to speak to them in Matthew 28, verse 18, where he says these words to them. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, these verses are what we call the Great Commission. This is what Christ commissioned his disciples, his followers to do after his resurrection and before his ascension into heaven. And it defines very plainly for us what our mission is supposed to be. And so we're going to break this down verse by verse. We're going to look at it so that we understand what this has to do with Light the Way and who we're going to be as Fairway Baptist Church and who we're asking you to be as a follower of Christ. Because what we're going to find is Christ commanded it. The Old and the New Testament, we see in Acts the church doing it, and we see the apostles even teaching it. So listen for those three things as I unpack this for you. The first thing that Jesus says to his disciples is he reminds them of his authority. He establishes his authority to them, which if at this point they had any doubt about his authority, it would be a little questionable in my mind, but just to reassure them of his authority, because, I mean, here's a man who just died and walked out of the grave. He says to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What Jesus is proclaiming is that he has authority not only in the spirit world, in heaven. He rules and reigns over all the spirit world, heaven and hell. He rules those. They are under his domain. He commands everything and everyone that is in those places. But he also has authority over all the earth, the physical earth that we know, that we live in now with governments and people. He has full authority over all of that as well. So that's why he says to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. There is nothing that is not under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And as such, he has the authority to give commands to you and to me, commands that are to be obeyed. If he is Lord, meaning that he has all authority over anything and everything that we see, then whatever he says to us to do, we must what? We must do. And so he establishes his authority there again in right before he gives a command. And then he begins to tell them in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So he gives a command in verse 19. Let me ask you a trick question. What is the command in that phrase that I just read? Make disciples. I'm glad that some of you knew that. That's great. How many of you, it's okay, be honest, how many of you thought go was the command? It's all right. If you thought go was the command, that's fine. Because there are people that have taught that. There are people that have preached that. But I want you to know this morning, the Greek text does not allow for that to be the command. As a matter of fact, the way that that literally reads in the Greek is, having gone, or as you are going, it can be translated in those two ways. So that's not a command. It's an expectation. What Jesus is saying to them is, I expect you to leave this place. You're not going to stand here with me the rest of your life at this mountain and listen to me talk. My expectation is that you're going to go and you're going to live life. And so as you are going, as you are living your life, as you are openly out there among the world, here's what I want you to do. So the expectation is that you're not going to withdraw from the world within inside four walls of a church or within your home. The expectation that Jesus had of his disciples, those that were following him, was that you were going to be out there living your life, openly testifying about your faith. Because the command that he gives in this verse is make disciples. That's the command that we have here. That is what he has told his disciples to do. You make more disciples. You multiply. How many of you have ever seen the movie Gremlins? Love that movie. It's a great, great movie. And so, like the little gizmo guy, I wish those things were real. It would be awesome to have one of those as a pet. Only you don't get them wet, right? Because in the movie, if they get wet, what happens? He like falls down, bubbles start coming off his back, and these little fuzz balls pop off everywhere, right? And he multiplies by getting wet. It's unfortunate that we as Christians don't multiply by getting wet. But his command for us is to multiply, right? His command is that we as disciples go and make more disciples. Now that's not limited to just the pastor, the elder, to the deacon, to the Bible study teacher. That is a command that is given to all of his followers. It is something that he expected of every single person who would call him Savior and Lord. As a matter of fact, when you look in Acts, here we go. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he's speaking to hundreds of his disciples before his ascension. Hundreds of them are standing there. And what he says to all of them is, not just the 12, or at that point the 11 apostles, but all of his disciples, is this: you're going to be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You're going to be my witnesses all over this world. And even here in the Great Commission, we are told to make disciples where? Look in verse 19. Of all nations. And so the command is for you. Look at me. If you're taking notes, that's fine. Finish your notes. But then I want you to look up here because I want you to get this. The command that Christ gives here in the Great Commission and in Acts 1:8 is this. It is for you to make disciples. You are to make disciples. And we have to have a broad and a narrow focus of this. Our making disciples has got to be both local and global. Because that's the command, right? He gives us the command and then he gives us the scope of the command. It's not just what is right here at our back door. It's globally. It's all nations. It's wherever God opens a door and gives us influence that we are supposed to go and make disciples. You are supposed to make disciples here in Wichita Falls and everywhere else around the world that God gives us the resources and the opportunity to go and do. You are supposed to make disciples. So we have to have this local and this global focus on this. You know, it's sad sometimes when you look at churches, there are many churches that have a global focus, but they don't have a local focus. They will do mission trips to other places around the world, but they'll never darken the door of their neighbor with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are other churches that I've been a part of that their focus was all local. They'll talk to people in their neighborhood, but they're not going to go overseas because the mentality is if there are lost people right here, I don't need to spend my time and resources going somewhere else. That is too narrow of a focus of the Great Commission that God has given his church. His expectation is for us to be living our life, openly living our faith and talking about the gospel, because how do you make a disciple? How do you make a disciple? You know what? To be a disciple means to be a follower of Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus, you have to understand who he is and what he's done, right? Someone has to exercise faith and repentance in Jesus Christ in order to become a follower of his. And in order for that person to become, to repent of their sin and to express faith in Christ and to begin following him, they have to hear the gospel, don't they? They have to hear that gospel message being proclaimed. They have to understand exactly what that gospel message is. You know, you can't make a disciple without proclaiming the gospel. Paul, are you with me? One of the apostles taught this exact thing. Okay, so we've seen Jesus' command to make disciples. We've seen in Acts how it was given to the disciples there. And if you followed along with us, you saw how that was lived out in Pentecost. The people came to faith in Christ and they began teaching them. And in all through Acts, we've watched as Paul has taught in different places in making disciples. So we've seen that. And now we go to Paul's teaching in Romans. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, but this is chapter 10, verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then? These are rhetorical questions. In other words, you should know the answer to these. How then will they call on him in whom they have believed? So they've got to call on the one that they believe in. How are they going to believe if they haven't heard? And how will they hear if someone doesn't go and preach or proclaim the gospel to them? And so Paul teaches us here in Romans chapter 10 that the way to be saved is by hearing the gospel and responding to that message. And people have to hear that message in order to be saved. And people have to be sent in order for others to hear that gospel message. Well, I want you to see this morning that Jesus has said, I'm sending you. I'm sending you to proclaim this gospel so that others can be saved. And so part of making a disciple is learning to share the gospel. It's learning to be able to talk to a lost world, a world that is in darkness, and say to them, listen, this world that we live in is broken. Every one of us that lives in this world, we are broken people. We have sinned against God. It means that we have disobeyed God. Well, you know, the world doesn't like to talk about sin today. We don't like to talk about disobedience, but that is the problem of mankind, and we have to testify to it. Because here's the reality, whether you want to acknowledge this or not, hear me this morning. The world as a broken and fallen place, you as a sinner stand in opposition to God. God did not make mankind so that man can be separated from him. That is not God's desire, but God is a just God, and those that have been disobedient to him, he will not allow in his presence. You have to know that. That's the reality that you face as a human born into this world. You are born in sin. It is your nature to desire what you want over what God has commanded and what God wants. And because you have that desire, because you pursue your way instead of God's way, it makes you an enemy of God. And when you pursue your way over God's way, God has no choice but to say, you cannot be in my presence because God is perfect. God is righteous. God is holy. He's unlike any other being. And he can't allow imperfection, those that disobey him, to be in his presence. But God's desire is not that you would perish and spend an eternity separated from him in hell, which is exactly where all men are going if they do not repent and turn from their sin. But that is not what God wants. God's desire is for you to be made right, for your sin to be forgiven, so that you can know God and you can have the assurance of your salvation and know that if you do pass away, or when you do pass away, that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with him. That is God's desire. The problem is you can't fix that on your own. There is nothing that you can do to solve the sin problem in your life, because the penalty for that sin is death. If you die a sinner, you've died in your sin and you are separated from God for all of eternity. And so before you pass from this life to the next, the sin in your life has got to be removed. It's got to be taken away. You can't do it. I can't do it for you. God knows there's no way that you and I can save ourselves. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus, to this earth to live a perfect life, to be completely obedient to God and fulfill the law, the demands that God has for righteousness. Jesus fulfilled all of those things. He was the perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. And so that when he died on that cross, he shed his blood to pay that price that you and I can't afford to pay for our disobedience towards God. And in being buried in that tomb, he was held captive, not only by sin, but by death and the grave, the very thing that holds your life and my life captive today. And we can't break free from those things on our own, but praise God that 3 days later, Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb. And when he walked out of that tomb, you know, the world thinks this is one of the craziest things to believe, that our God could die and then walk out of the tomb. But when he walked out of that tomb, he showed us that he has authority over the very thing that holds you captive this morning, over sin, over death, and over the grave. And what we read here in Romans chapter 9 from Paul's teaching is that if we will confess with our mouth that he is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you can be saved. You can be set free from sin. You can be set free from the grave. You can be set free from death. And know by placing your faith in Christ and confessing that he is Lord, that you can have eternal life through him and through him alone. There is no other way. He and he alone is God's provision. And you know, that's the first step in making a disciple, is proclaiming that, openly telling that story of what Christ has done for those that are around us. That's what it means to make a disciple. But it doesn't stop there, because he gives us some things that go along with making disciples of all nations. He tells us baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Repentance and faith come before baptism. There are some people who teach that baptism is a means of salvation. That is not the case. Every case that we have seen in Acts of baptism, everywhere that baptism is taught, it comes after the person has realized their sin and placed their faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. And so when you make a disciple, then you want to see them baptized. It's through the church that God has placed the ordinance of baptism. The picture that he gives us here, that Jesus has given us of baptism, is that those that we make disciples of are to be brought into the fellowship of the body of Christ, because we're baptizing them in the name of what? Of who? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He didn't say baptize them in the name of Jesus, baptize them in the name of Yahweh, baptize them in the name of the Holy Spirit. He used all three, didn't he? There's a reason he used all three. Our God, the triune God of the Bible, is the perfect picture of fellowship and love. And baptizing a new believer, baptizing a disciple, is showing, not only identifying them with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but it is the church's way of saying, we recognize what God has done in your life, the salvation that he has brought to you, and we welcome you into our fellowship, and we take responsibility for the next thing that he tells us to do here, which is to teach. Because we are told in verse 20 that we are to teach them to observe everything that he has commanded. This is going to get into our second core value of growing in truth. This is discipleship. So you make a disciple by sharing the gospel. That person places their faith in Christ. You bring them to church, and our elders will talk with them, will discern their heart, to make sure that they're in the right place, that they truly understand the decision that they've made. And if we are confident that they have made the right decision, that they really know the gospel and have responded in repentance and faith, then we will baptize them and bring them into the fellowship of Fairway Baptist Church, where we can begin teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. But he's not done yet. So he's told us the command is to make disciples. We do that by sharing the gospel, then we baptize, and then we teach them. But he's not done yet, because if you think about it, making a disciple, baptizing them, bringing them into the church, and teaching them everything that Jesus has commanded, there's a lot in here, isn't there? If you think about it, that's quite a monumental task, isn't it? Especially when he says your focus is not just where you live, but your focus should be a global focus when it comes to evangelism and missions. It's quite impossible for us to do all of this in our own power, isn't it? As a matter of fact, you, in your own power, cannot make a disciple. The making of a disciple is a heart matter, and you can't control someone else's heart. It's not your job or your responsibility to change the person's heart to whom you are witnessing. It is your responsibility as a follower of Christ to be faithful with the command to make disciples by proclaiming the gospel to them. The rest is between them and the Holy Spirit, and that's where you need to take comfort. This impossible task that he has called us to do, he's also made us a promise. Look in the end of this great commission with me in verse 20. After he's told us to teach them and to observe all that he has commanded, Jesus says to his disciples, he says to you this morning, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me take you back to Acts 1:8 one more time, where Jesus goes tells his disciples, you are going to be my witnesses all over the world. Do you know what he says to them before he tells them you're going to be my witnesses? He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So his promise to his disciples, to you and to me, is to empower us with his Holy Spirit. And that's what we saw at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came on the apostles that were there, the disciples that were there, and they began testifying the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people began to be saved by the thousands. And the Holy Spirit that we witnessed at Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that indwells you today, believer, that empowers you today to make a disciple, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around you. He is the same Holy Spirit that we watched do these great things all through the book of Acts. And guess what? He hasn't stopped working. Do you remember Jason and Amanda's testimony last week about what God is doing through their ministry in Mozambique? What God started at Pentecost has not stopped. What has stopped is believers being faithful to obey the command to make disciples. That is what has stopped. And it will not be the case at Fairway Baptist Church as long as I am your shepherd. I will urge you and drive you on to make disciples because that is the command that Christ has given us. It will be our identity. Evangelism and missions will be part of who we are. And it's not a legalistic thing. I'm trying to urge you this morning to see the command of Christ, to see the work of God when you obey this command in the book of Acts and even witness and testify to in the life of Jason and Amanda, and to understand and to know that this is taught over and over again throughout Scripture, that we are to proclaim this gospel and that it is you who are to be the proclaimer of that gospel and to do it because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love your fellow man because you understand the condition in which mankind sits today, that they are in desperate need of a Savior. It is a monumental task that we cannot do apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we read this great commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If we have confessed with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he has all authority over our life, just as he has authority over everything else that we see here in this passage, then all that's left for us to do is to obey, to be obedient. Are you being obedient to that command to make disciples? Or have you somehow in your own mind and heart justified that's the preacher's job, that's somebody else's job? Listen, I want you to see this morning some of the ways that Fairway Baptist Church is giving you opportunities to participate in this command to make disciples. First of all, we want to teach you and urge you to do this in your life, no matter where you are, whether it's work, whether it's school, whether it's even on vacation. We want you to begin to have the mindset of no matter where I am, I'm seeking to make disciples. Because that is why God has left me here, to proclaim this good news that Jesus has given. And we have taught through our Bible study on Sunday morning, evangelism. We have taught in classes and in conferences on the weekend, evangelism. And so we want to continue to put into the DNA of Fairway Baptist Church and every believer that is part of this church, this idea that we are called as individuals and as a church together to make disciples. And so we've got this resource for you, written by Dr. Matt Queen from Southwestern Seminary, who came and taught our first evangelism class. Everyday evangelism that gives you principles in Scripture and points of how to make this an everyday practice where you become this disciple maker, no matter where you are. And so I have some of these books here this morning. If you are listening and know, I really need help with this. I really need to make this part of my life and understanding who I am and the identity of Christ and being obedient to his command, this book is a start and will help you with that. And so I have some of these. You can see me after the service. I will put one of these in your hand. It's yours. You can take it with you and begin to read it, and we can have a discussion about it. But we want to give you those resources to make this a part of your everyday life. And some of the other opportunities that we have in presenting before you in making disciples, we have Project 2411. And we rolled this out this past year in line with our teaching on evangelism. And Project 2411 is our response to Proverbs 2411, which tells us to rescue those that are stumbling towards death and to hold back those that are staggering towards a slaughter. And we see God's plea there. Oh, if you would do what I'm asking, if you would go after them, and if you would hold them back from that fate that they are headed towards. And so we see in that passage God's heart for going after the lost. And we decided that here where God has placed us locally here in Wichita Falls, our God is big. And it's just like Jason talked about aiming and hitting that elephant. We can shoot for the little deer, or we can shoot for the big elephant. And I believe our God wants us to shoot for that big elephant. And so we committed that as long as Fairway Baptist Church is here on this planet in Wichita Falls, that we are going to say to our God, every door, every home, every person in this city is our goal. And we're going to go do it. And so that's what Project 2411 is. We meet every afternoon right now. We're meeting for the next 5 to 6 weeks at 3:30 here in the FLC. And you will be put on teams, given streets to go to, and you will go to those homes on those streets, and you will look for opportunities to share the gospel and to pray with people in our community. We want them to know that we're here and that Jesus is the only way to salvation. And we want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. Listen, I know some of you are thinking, I can't do that. I don't know how to talk to someone about the gospel. I can't do what you just did in sharing the gospel. That's okay. Come and be a part of it anyway. Start taking those steps and going. We'll let you stand there and watch what someone else does. You can stand there and pray as someone else on your team shares the gospel. But what that does is that puts you in a position where you're saying to God, I'm going to be obedient to your command to make disciples. I'm going to go out with fellow believers, and I'm going to begin to learn to do this. And I promise you, if you do, it will change your life, and God will honor it in a great way, not only in your life, but in the life of this church. So Project 2411 is an opportunity that's there for you to participate in making disciples. That's our local focus. So we began to look and go globally. There are other things that are out there for us. We want to talk about the Belize mission trip. And we're going in January. Unfortunately, the team is already full, but there will be other trips to Belize, where we will go down and work with a missionary and begin going into villages in the jungle and sharing the gospel with them. And then even some discipleship, some believers that are already there, teaching them the Bible, helping them understand what it is that Christ wants from them as his follower. And we're going to send a team down in January to go to Belize and to talk and to share our faith with those that are there. So Belize begins to broaden our scope. If you've never been on an international mission trip, Belize is a great first step, because you're going into a place that's very touristy. You can use American dollars. Most people there speak English. It's a great entry point. If you've never been on an international mission trip, I want you to consider this as one of the steps and one of the options for you to light the way for the lost on a global scale. And then this morning, I have two new things. This is exciting for us, church. There are two things that I want to put before you this morning, other opportunities that God has opened up for Fairway Baptist Church to be a part of and to participate in lighting the way for the lost, not only here in Wichita Falls, but in other places around the world. A few months ago, I began talking with a church planner in Baltimore. His name is Chris Pugh. You can look him up on Facebook if you like. Chris is starting a church that is launching in the town of Towson, which is just north of the city of Baltimore. You can see his logo there, Restoration Church, that is launching in August of next year. Talked with this young man, and I am impressed with him and what God is doing through him. He is one of our North American Mission Board missionaries that is assigned to the area of Baltimore. Right now, he is doing Bible study and beginning to talk to people who are interested in being part of this church launch. And in talking with him, what the elders and I have decided to do is we are going to commit as a church to send three teams to him over this next year to help him get this church up and going. You're going to have the opportunity to be involved in a church plant just like you've seen take place in the book of Acts. Is that not exciting? And so we're going to present these opportunities to you. The first one, college students, I want you to hear me. On spring break, here's an amazing thing. Look what God's done. Towson is a city that has Towson University is there, much like MSU. Their spring break comes after yours, so yours is before theirs, right? If you could take your spring break and go to Baltimore, that first trip in March, we want to send you up there to be able to be around that university and the coffee shops, maybe even on campus in the bookstore and other places around there, to try to reach college students with the gospel and to find believers that can come alongside Chris and help him. Now, it's not just college students. Spring break will be open to everyone. Everyone in the church is invited to go on that. And so if you think that you would like to go and be a part of that, we want you to let me or let Pastor Thomas know. But we're going to go help Chris beginning in March. The second trip will be it's either June or July. In that trip, we're going to focus on sending our teenagers. And again, it's open to families. It's open to anyone who wants to go, but we're focusing on sending our teens. They're going to go and they're going to participate with Chris in whatever he needs during that summertime to begin to get ready for that launch in August. And then in August, the week before the launch, we're sending a team up to be there to help him get the word out about the church starting on the Sunday in August that he's launching. And we're going to let you stay there and be a part of the first worship service of that church. Isn't that great? That we can be a part of helping him get this church plant up and going, 3 trips up there, and then be there to celebrate with him when that church is birthed and when it starts. That's an exciting opportunity that God has put before us. If you're interested in any of those trips and going and making disciples, I want you to let me know. And you'll be hearing more about Chris and Restoration Church in the months ahead. The last thing that I have to tell you, and I am very excited about this, the elders have decided that we are going to start a partnership with Amanda and Jason in Mozambique. You met them last week. Now, they don't go back until the 27th of December. But once they get back in country, we will begin talking with them about a vision trip where we will take a small group. I'll go over with a small group and see the area and really talk with Jason and look at what we can do there and what he's already talked to me about some things that he wants us to do, but we need to see it to see the feasibility of it and what we can do. And then once that's done, we'll come back and we'll give a report to the church and we will begin opening opportunities for you to go to Mozambique. Now, Mozambique's probably going to be a once a year trip because getting to Africa and back is not cheap. It's pretty expensive. And so if God, through their testimony, through the testimony of Jason and Amanda, has laid Mozambique on your heart and you think that that's where you want to go, I want to encourage you now, start saving. Start saving now so that you can have the resources to be able to go on this trip. Look, all of these things that God has put in front of us, these are opportunities that he is giving Fairway Baptist Church to light the way for the lost. And that has to be part of our identity. This evangelism and missions has to be part of who we are or we won't survive. Because that's the whole purpose that God has placed his church here for, is the proclamation of the gospel. We have to pursue the lost just as Christ pursued us. And in doing that and it becoming part of our identity, we have to buy in all the way. It has to be all or nothing for us. And what I mean by that is if we say to God, yes, we're going to light the way, this is who Fairway Baptist Church is going to be, then we have to put not only our feet and our hands and our voice behind that, because we have to go and we have to proclaim the gospel. We also have to say to God, you know what, God, we're all in when it comes to taking your gospel here to Wichita Falls and around the world. And that means we have to sacrifice and put our finances behind what we know God has called us to do. And so as we begin to get closer to Christmas, I mentioned this to you a couple of weeks ago, I'm asking you right now to begin praying as a family about our Light the Way missions offering that we're going to take up in December. Everything that you give to that Light the Way missions offering, every dollar of it will go to advance the gospel. Some of it will go to the International Mission Board. The rest of it will be used right here through Fairway Baptist Church to do the things that God has called us to do. To go to Baltimore, to go to Belize, to go to Mozambique, to do missions the way that God has called us to do it, to make disciples. And what I'm asking you in your prayer time as a family is to think through just how important is it for us to obey the command that Christ has given us to make disciples. Are we willing to not only say, yes, that's a command and we're supposed to do it, but are we willing to show God that we will go, we will participate, we will do it, and we will also put our resources behind it? So I'm asking you to pray, what will God lead you and your family to give above and beyond your tithe to see this Light the Way missions offering that God has given us to help support our mission efforts through here? How important is the advance of the gospel to you and to your family? And what will God lead you to give? I want you to begin praying about that now. I'm basically asking you to give one of your largest, if not the largest financial gift that you've given all year long, to say to the Lord, we believe that the advance of the gospel is the most important thing that we can do. So I want you to pray about that as a family. I want you to pray about that as an individual. What will you give in December to light the way in helping advance the gospel, not only here in Wichita Falls, but around the world? These are exciting things, aren't they? This is great that God is opening this door for us and giving us these opportunities. And all that he's saying to us is, be faithful, trust me, step out, and let's make disciples.